irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on the couch, as you always are here on Friday afternoons in some parts of the country, 11 on Pacific, and of course, wherever you're at around the world, love to have you with me. Got a great show today, because what I'm doing is answering your questions. Yep, you, the listeners, have reached out to me on my email, straighttalkdoc@gmail.com, and sort of ask me a lot of different relationship questions. Some of the most common things that I work with, you know, in my particular practice here in Los Angeles are couples and also their personal individual issues that keep them from having healthy relationships. So what I thought I'd do is I gather up all the questions about relationship issues that I've been getting over the last month and sort of pick the ones that are the most common, and then answer them for you. And by the way, guys, thank you so much for reaching out and asking me these questions, because it really helps me understand what's going on out there in the world. Just not my little office and my private practice here, but also what is everybody else dealing with in terms of, you know, their self unresolved issues and also relationships. So that's really cool, and I appreciate it. If you would like to email me during the show, please feel free to do so. straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. And or if you'd like to call, if you have a problem or a question or something like that, I'm going to open up the phone lines today. Usually what I try to do is focus on emails, because it just kind of gets right to the point sometimes. But if you want to call, 323-203-0815. That's the live line here in Los Angeles. So again, today we're dealing with relationship stuff going on. And that's one of my specialties. Are helping people understand themselves better, understand their early beginnings, how they survived in their environment, whether it was really healthy or unhealthy or whatever, and then their own personality styles, and why we clash with other people so much. You know, what's going on? Why can't I get along with this person? Or, you know, do I keep self-sabotaging? Or why do I keep picking the same kind of guys or women or whatever, you know, the deal is. So a number of relationship questions will be brought out today. So we're going to get rocking here. And again, you can email me at straighttalkdoc@gmail.com here on the couch. All right. So I'm going to just give you my first email. It's kind of long, but I want to give Ian his due. So he says, I've been married for about 3 years. My wife and I don't have kids. Sometimes we argue about regular things like finances, in-laws, chores, etc. Okay. My wife also says that I should take more time off work to be with her and that I work too much. She works part-time and she says she feels lonely. He goes on to say, I sometimes have to travel for about 4 days out of the month. That's not too bad. I'm the main wage earner, and I pay for most of the bills. 2 weeks ago, my wife said she's tired of me not listening to her and that I haven't done anything to change. She wants to get her own place, get some space. Well, that's one of my favorites. And figure out if she still wants to be married. I'm, you might say, dazed and confused at why she would do this. I've never cheated on her. I enjoy doing things with her and helping with anything I can. Would you help me understand why she feels this way? I've asked to see a couples therapist with her, and she says that if I don't change my ways, she'll consider divorce. Couples therapy usually doesn't work. That's what she says, I guess. He says, I'm a nice, hardworking guy and don't understand why women want to leave good men. Exclamation points. Thank you, Ian, for writing that. I really appreciate that. Well, I don't know what's going on, really, with her. And let me just throw this out to you. I'm not your therapist, guys. I'm just a psychologist giving you healthy suggestions and ideas about things that work and what I learn and what I have studied and some of the studies out there that reflect healthy or unhealthy types of behaviors that really mess us up in our relationships. So, you know, just sort of understand that I'm not giving you advice about how to conduct your relationships. I'm just getting, you know, suggestions here. So some of the stuff that I've heard in my office, Ian, from women, sounds sort of like what you say that your wife is saying, which is, let me see. Yeah, you said she said she felt alone. And what I hear a lot from women is, I heard all the time because I feel alone and abandoned. That's one of the most common things I hear. And another one I hear is, the only time he pays attention to me is when he wants sex. Just kind of think about these things when I'm telling you, Ian, okay? He's never there for me when I need him the most. I just jotted some of these things down that I hear. We're like ships passing in the night. He goes his way and I go mine. I want you to think about these, Ian. My husband has become a stranger to me. I don't even know who he is anymore because we don't spend enough time together. And he doesn't show any interest in me or what I do. Okay, these are the top things that I hear from women as to why they want to, you know, get space or why they're unhappy in their relationships. So it sounds to me like your wife is expressing to you that she feels lonely because you're just working too much. And I don't know, maybe you are, maybe you aren't. You know, 4 days out of the month is not really that big of a deal if you're traveling those days. To me, not too big of a deal. But I'll tell you one thing, women tend to be more concerned about their marriages than men. Why is that? How do I know that? Well, statistics show that they buy most of the books on marriage to try to improve them. They usually initiate marriage counseling. So it was interesting to me that you said your wife didn't want it. They often complain about their marriages to their closest friends. And sometimes anybody who will listen. And they also file for divorce, get this, twice as often as men. Did you know that? Ian, did you know that? Yeah. So why are women so dissatisfied with marriage? I don't know specifically, again, what's going on with your wife and why she's so dissatisfied. She said that she feels lonely because you're working too much and she's only working part-time. And you don't have kids to fill up your time, and that's fine. That's good. No judgment. So here's the thing. Why do a lot of women leave men? So each day I'm confronted by women who are really kind of frustrated with their, you know, partners and their marriages or whatever. And they usually tell me that they have no hope that their husbands will ever understand what it is that frustrates them, let alone change enough to solve the problem. Now, I may sound like, you know, I'm kind of putting you down, Ian, but I'm not. I'm just sharing with you information that I get from people, you know, who and what they say to me, particularly women right now, you know. So from a lot of women's perspectives, they say that marital problems are created by their husbands who do little or nothing to solve them. Now, what's really interesting is that when I talk to the guys, their husbands, partners, whatever, they usually have a very different explanation as to why their wives feel the way they do. Now, this, by the way, goes with any kind of relationship, okay? Gay relationships, what, any kind of relationship. This is what I'm hearing a lot of. So if there's a stronger male energy in a relationship, no matter what sexual orientation, that kind of male energy person usually has a really different explanation as to why their partners feel the way they do. So they often feel that the expectations of women in general, and their wives in particular, their partners, have grown completely out of reach. So a lot of guys tell me that they feel they've made a gigantic effort to be caring and sensitive, do things around the house, do errands, pay the bills, work, and all that stuff. But they get no credit whatsoever for their contribution, you know, to the relationship or even the family if they have kids. And they feel under enormous pressure to improve their financial support, right? And improve the way that they treat their partners. A lot of guys I see, and it sounds kind of like you, maybe, Ian, are emotionally exhausted and feel that for all their effort, they get nothing but criticism. All right? And, you know, it's just, it's really difficult sometimes. Really difficult. So the simpler role of husbands in decades has now been replaced by a lot more complex and confusing role. It really has. Especially in their relationship with their wives. So a lot of guys tell me, and I'm reading your email here, Ian, is that women are born to complain and men must ignore to survive it. No, you need more communication. A lot of guys, though, tell me that a lot of their partners, the women, have come to expect so much of them that they're impossible to please and there's no point in even trying. Okay? And very few men who come in to see me these days feel that they've learned to become the husbands that their wives have wanted. That their wives have wanted, not who they want to be. And the job seems to be getting more and more difficult. So this is what I hear a lot. And I'm just sharing this with you about people. So what I'd really suggest, Ian, to you, is if you really want to keep this together and you don't want your wife to move out and get space, what I'd do is I'd go to a really good couples therapist. And I hope she's listening, because this person, you know, you can read bios on people. You can find out about really good couples therapists. I don't know where you're emailing me from. I don't know what city you live in, but wherever it is, you can find some good therapists online. Go under the insurance you may have or whatever. My point is that someone who is a specialist who has no bias about either one of you can sit there and just sort of get a vibe and mediate and direct, not criticize, but just sort of say what is healthy and what's not healthy. What should you guys do to help each other and make this relationship grow? So I would really suggest that you urge, because, you know, couples therapy can really work for people who want it to work. You know, I've had a lot of couples who come in and one or the other partners is already out the door in their minds. They're already in their own place. They want to be out of that relationship. So they're doing it as a, well, at least I went to couples therapy. See, I said I try, but they don't really try. So find out if she really is serious about making this relationship work. If she's really concerned that you're not listening to her, okay, good. Maybe she is really serious and wants the help. So there you go. All right, Ian, if you have any more questions or comments, you can email me at straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. Love to hear from you. And I hope I helped. I didn't mean to throw back at you. Yeah, just go get therapy. But I mean, it really does help because, again, you have someone who's objective. See, what happens a lot of times is that we talk to our friends, or your wife will talk to her girlfriends or her whatever siblings who she feels safe with or whoever. And they're going to have their own opinion, you see, because they don't know what you're feeling and the reality of what's going on. They don't know. They're just going to give their opinion based on their issues and insecurities and whatever. So that's what's going on. So that's why you need a good objective point of view from someone who's got their act together. It's a really good idea. All right. Great. Thank you so much for emailing me, Ian, at straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. And this is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are on the couch with me today here on LA Talk Radio. And I'm answering you guys' questions. Thank you. You guys. Sounds like Napoleon Dynamite, doesn't it? Remember, you guys. So thank you so much for emailing me. And what I'm doing is I'm focusing completely on relationships. We're doing the relationship thing. We're covering it. You know? Male, female, bisexual, whatever kind of relationship, sexual orientation you have. It all applies. It's all the same thing. It's about communication. It's about respect. And I'm going to tell you all the ingredients that make for a good relationship, too. Because that's really important. Okay? So you got to think about these things. So let me roll with this one. Speaking about which. Okay. This is from Sarah. She said, "Hey, Doc, can you tell me what it takes to make a relationship last? I get confused about whether I want to be in a relationship these days because I've been cheated on and lied to. I felt alone with a lot of guys who I've been in relationships with, but I've been accused of being too needy. Maybe if I knew what traits to look for in a guy, then I would be more picky and find healthier people in my life." Okay, that's fair. Thank you, Sarah, for emailing me. I really appreciate that. So, you know, just you can replay the show if you're not, you know, completely, you know, able to listen to this. You can replay the show on the archives here at Annihilated Talk Radio. As soon as I get up here, it'll be up on the couch on the webpage here. But let me just lay it out for you. Some of the traits that I find are the best to find in a partner. And this goes for women and men as well. These are really the best type of traits that you should look for. Number one, because you said you've been cheating on and lied to and all that. Number one, the biggie, is trust. This is really a crucial ingredient. Yeah, duh. But how do you find someone you can trust? Well, you got to give it time. You've got to see how it rolls out. But trusting someone creates a feeling of safety and security, and it enables you to be closer to each other and to know that you can count on each other. And remember, Sarah, that trust is a two-way street. So you both have to, you know, do trust-earning behaviors. If you're getting into a relationship slowly, you can see a lot of times how people treat their friends, or if they're, you know, stand-up people, if they have a moral compass that's pretty good, right? So you have to be trustworthy yourself, and you have to insist that your partner or whoever you're dating is sort of trustworthy as well. And then you kind of have to take the risk. And it sounds to me like you've taken risks and gotten into the wrong relationship. And it can feel scary sometimes, but you just have to look for signs. Okay? Is someone honest to their friends and their family? You know? Do they do what they say they're going to do? Can you trust them, basically? So that's a biggie. That is, I think, really the number one. Because it builds, number two, respect. And I've done a lot of research on this because I try to help people with this particular issue, because it shows that continually treating your partner with contempt, which I see so much of the time sitting on my couch in front of me, dismissiveness or disdain or whatever, greatly increases your chance of divorce or breaking up or separation or whatever it is. So remember, you've got to treat each other with respect. Do unto others. So what do you not do? What does someone do that you don't want, Sarah? You don't want anyone who's sarcastic. Yeah, a lot of people say, "Oh, that's just my sense of humor. I'm not sarcastic." Be careful of that. Okay? Name calling. Personal attacks. You know, those kind of things. Someone who is not really listening to you, or someone who, the eye rolling, when you say something you really want to talk, and that person eye rolls, it's like, what the are you kidding me? So they're kind of damaging behaviors. You got to look for those things. You know, if someone's sarcastic, that really, you know, sarcasm is, it's good when you see a good comedian and they're on stage. But sometimes sarcasm is when someone's sarcastic and they go, "I'm just kidding." Usually that means not. Okay. So you've got to look for someone who practices listening and speaking respectfully to you, even if you're upset. You know, somebody who's patient, someone who listens. All right. So it's really good to really see someone who, you know, can respect. And again, how do you find that? Well, if you're starting to date someone, going out with someone, you learn how they treat their friends and their family. Do they have respect for people? Are they saying bad things about people all the time? What's that about? All right. Something that's really important to really make a lasting relationship or someone who is really good and will be a good partner in a relationship is starting to be friends with them. Because friendship is the foundation of a good couple relationship. So if you're starting to get to know someone, if you're dating or whatever, start being a good friend. You see what I'm saying? Because you're not jumping into the romantic la-la land craziness of it. You're seeing this person as, this could be a really nice person to hang out with. So many of the relationships that I know that have lasted a long time started out as good friends. Because there's no weird stuff in the way. They really get to know each other. And then after a little while, they start going, wow, this person like is amazing. And I was in the friend zone, but you know what? They have these attractive characteristics about them. And yeah, they are kind of cute. And yada, yada. It goes on and on. So somebody else you want to find is someone who has patience and flexibility. Yeah. So you have to have patience, and you want someone who also has patience and listens. And I talked about that a little earlier. And honors your differences and celebrates your unique qualities. You don't have to be exactly alike or have like the same things. Total opposites aren't always great. But someone who sort of likes the things you do, you know, if they have patience and flexibility about the things you like or are interested in what you do, it really helps. You know, you can learn a lot about your partner's strengths. Yeah, just learn a lot from them. And this can also make you fall for them because they're so interesting, some of the stuff that they have. But it's patience and flexibility. That's a really biggie. Also, if you want to get into a relationship with someone, see how they communicate with you. All right. See how they communicate. Now, after dating for a while, you know, there's going to be like some little weird awkwardness, maybe. And you might agree or disagree with each other. And you might be angry or feel like, So it's really good to speak your truths. Be assertive. Use I statements. Reflect to that person that you heard them and respect their feelings. You know, and also own stuff. Find someone who can own stuff when they mess up or if they've done something that's legit to hurt you. Okay, so that's a really good one. Also, you know, too many couples sort of turn on each other when they face a lot of issues, like if they're really stressed out about work or, you know, they're having family issues or whatever. A lot of people, you know, if you've been with someone and you just sort of see how they handle stress in their life, that's a really good, you know, like skill to see how they handle. Because when stuff starts to fall apart, good relationships will hang together and you guys will be, you know, supporters of each other. So you see what I'm saying? So just sort of see how someone works through their issues that they might be going through if you're just starting to date someone. Okay, Sarah, some ideas for you. Thank you so much for emailing me here at straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. So nice to hear from you. I really appreciate it. And today what I'm doing is I'm answering your questions about relationships. That's what I'm doing. You know, some of the most general questions that I get, I've put down here because I think it's really important because they're really common. So thanks, guys, for emailing me at straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. And we're going to move on to another, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this one, but I just want you to think about this. Oh, oops. This is from Angela. Sorry, hit the mic. I was like reading this on my phone here. Okay, Angela says, my guy who I've been with for over a year keeps saying that, quote, I'm too dependent on him. I tell him that I'm respectful of him and I just enjoy being with him rather than going out with my girlfriends and partying. I like to chill and I'm a quiet person. I'm confused because I thought that wanting to be with someone a lot means that you really love or care for them. What's he talking about? What is the codependency thing? All right. So, you know, that's been supposedly sort of a no-no word for a long time in therapy. Oh, she's so codependent. So let me just tell you what, you know, I hear so much about codependency in relationships. So originally it was referred to the spouses or partners of alcoholics and the ways they attempt to control the effects of the other person's dependency on alcohol or drugs. You've heard of that. You know, they have Al-Anon groups, a lot of codependent groups. So how did I enable this person to continue their alcoholism and why did I stay with them? So I could care give them and on and on and on. And then I feel like a victim because, you know, they're not trying to respect me and get my help and all that. So more recently, though, the term's sort of been used to refer to any relationship in which one person feels incomplete without the other and thus tries to control him or her. So maybe that's what he's talking about. So if your style, you know, and I applaud that because you don't want to go out partying with your friends. You know, you've been seeing this guy for a while, just over a year, you said, and you're pretty relaxed. You sounds like you've been there, done that. Maybe, I don't know, partied a lot and you just want to be with your guy. But you might want to sit down with him and ask him exactly what he means by you're too codependent. Does that mean that he wants to get out and party? I wouldn't assume that and ask that kind of question necessarily. I'd just say, can you just sort of explain to me what I'm doing that indicates that I'm codependent? Okay. So here's some of the things I want you to think about relating to you. And this may not apply to you at all. Okay. Fear of change or growth in the other person. Okay. That's one of the biggies there. Fear of change or growth in the other person. Okay. Are they learning more? Are they getting out in the world more? Are they traveling more? Are they finding more friends? Are they getting involved in other things? Ooh, they're changing. They're growing. That means they're going to dump me because I'm not good enough for them. So I want you to think about that a little bit, Angela. Okay. Also, looking to the other person for affirmation and self-esteem. Okay, we all look at our partners for some kind of, you know, kudos and compliments and all that. I mean, it's normal. We want the people we love or care for to say, wow, you did such an amazing job. You're so smart. I'm so proud of you. You look beautiful today. You look so handsome. You're hot. But sometimes the other person is so overwhelmed or they're just kind of in the zone and they need to be pulled back into reality of, hello, here I am, notice me, hey, you know. But if we look to the other person for affirmation and self-esteem too much, we're losing a little bit of ourselves. You got to look to yourself for affirmation and self-esteem. That does not mean narcissism. I'm not talking about narcissism. Uh-uh. No, I'm not. I'm talking about just love that which you are. Be okay with who you are. Stop worrying about what other people are thinking, especially your partner. Oh, my God. I shouldn't have said that. What am I doing? Just you be you, honey. And try to build your own inner strength. All right? This is something else that, you know, I see sometimes a person who has borderline personality disorder and they're in a relationship, they sort of feel unsure where they end and the other person begins. They sort of meld into assuming that this other person fills them up. And the other person is responsible for their feelings. But that's not okay. You are your own person and you need to consider that. I have my own wishes, likes, thoughts, feelings, and if he's not, you know, really respecting that, then you have to take a look at what you're doing and putting out there. Are you doing some codependent behaviors? Is He's sort of going, ah, and running the other way because you're too needy. He's filling you up. And that's, maybe he needs a little air on that. So I want you to think about that. Now, you may not be doing any of these things, but what I'm doing is I'm just giving you some characteristics of what codependency are. That's what you asked me, so I'm giving you that. If you have an exaggerated fear of abandonment with this person, you know, oh my God, he's going to abandon me because I'm not enough of enough, good enough, smart enough, pretty enough, beautiful. Stop! Get yourself together to where, again, you feel good about you and who you are. So really look at that. Do not fear abandonment. All right? If someone is going to abandon you, find out exactly what's going on with them. Have good, healthy communications and work on some of the things that they're not feeling good about in you. If you think it's valid, only for you. Okay? And some other characteristics of codependency, and I'm not saying that you do this at all. Okay. But I'm just saying sometimes we play psychological games and we manipulate people. We make people feel guilty or we feel sad and, you know, we get real emotional and sort of we just want to get a rise out of our partners because, you know, we're so dependent on and needing them so badly. Okay, so none of that. Throw out that manipulation. Don't be doing those psychological games. It's just, you know, relationships are not a chess game. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Pawn to bishop. Mm-hmm. Next move. I'm going to outsmart this guy. I know how to play the game. No games! A healthy relationship is one that allows for the individuality and growth of both people. Okay? You've got to be open to change. You've got to express your feelings and needs. You know, so it's really important that you think about some of these little bullet points that I shared with you about what characteristics of codependency are. Maybe he's just throwing out a word to freak you out, and maybe he needs to explore some of his issues. I don't know, but I think you need to sit down and ask him. And I think you also need to go to a therapist if you feel that you are experiencing some of these, you know, kind of feelings towards your person. Yeah. Maybe you are a little needy or codependent, and that's okay. Look, we all have survival techniques. We all survive in the way that we can growing up, given the environment we grow up in. Even if we're in a really healthy environment in our, you know, with our parents or whatever when we're little ones, sometimes we use, you know, manipulative techniques. That's what kids do, especially adolescents. We have a survival part of our own personalities that get us through life in order to get what we need. And sometimes one of those survival techniques is to be codependent, especially when we have a parent or a partner who has substance abuse or alcoholic issues or something like that. We don't want them to change because if they change and get healthy, then we don't have, we're useless. We can't caregive them. You see? We can't be up on that pedestal, the one who's helping them. You got to look at that. And I'm not accusing you of that at all. Okay? All right. But thank you so much for emailing me here at straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. What we're doing today is answering questions that my assistant and I have picked out regarding relationship issues. Some of the most common relationship issues that I, deal with, that's what we're looking at today. So we're looking at self-esteem. We're looking at what creates neediness, what healthy traits are in a partner, and what keeps long-lasting relationships. What kinds of behaviors, what kinds of people do you want to get involved with? This is what we've been talking about so far. And if you have any questions or comments, and some of those are coming in, and I appreciate that, be nice to some of the people who've written me. Come on. Be nice. But I appreciate your questions and comments. And it's straighttalkdoc@gmail.com here. There was a really good book, by the way, that I wanted to share with you guys. And it's about relationships. It's an older book. It's called The Good Marriage. And it can pertain to anything. You know, partners, people who don't want to get married, any kind of sexual orientation couples. but it's the good marriage, how and why love lasts. Okay. So it's written by psychologist Dr. Judith Wallerstein. And what she did was she did like in-depth interviews with about 50 couples who've been married for at least 9 years. And some of them had kids together and who regarded their relationships, marriages, as happy. So what she did is she identifies in her book 9 psychological tasks that any marital relationship has to have to be really healthy. So here are the tasks that we have to do and take care of in ourselves. And this might help you as well. You guys who've written me, Ian, too. Here are some of the 9 tasks that you have to really take care of before you go into a serious relationship and possibly a marriage and or if you want to have kids, you know, that'll, oh, my body clock, time clock's running out. Got to get married, find somebody. Start pumping them out. Don't do that. You'll be unhappy. Usually, got to find the right person. Okay, here we go. So what you have to do, according to Dr. Wallerstein, is separate emotionally from your childhood so you can invest fully in the marriage or relationship or partnership. And at the same time, redefine the lines of connection with both families of origin. In other words, you have to get your act together in terms of your unresolved issues with your parents and your siblings. You got to separate emotionally. You are not, I know it's really hard. That's what I spend most of my time in my therapy sessions doing, helping people sort of separate emotionally from a lot of your childhood issues. Some of those things that you've bought into about who you are that are not true from your parents who made you feel bad about yourself or siblings or bullies in school or whatever, people in your relationships who've hurt you and dumped you and unliked you and all that. So you have to redefine the lines of connection with people who've hurt you. And that takes a while, but that's a really important thing to do. All right. So another trait that Dr. Wallerstein found that you have to do before you sort of get really serious with someone is try to build togetherness based on mutual identification. Okay, so how do you do that? You share intimacy. All right, I'm talking about emotional intimacy, not sexual intimacy. I mean, yeah, that's important too. But share an expanded conscience. All right? So you include the other person. You share and get them. And you allow them to have their own stuff and truth and what they need. But you set boundaries. Okay? You got to set the boundaries with your partner, too. Okay? All righty. Now, I said intimacy. Now, let's do the sex thing. Establish a rich and pleasurable sexual relationship and protect it from the incursions of the workplace and family obligations. And I know children get in the way. I know. But you've got to work on that and keep that as fresh and healthy as you can. All right? And also you've got to learn how to sort of roll through and build your coping skills because there's going to be stuff in life going on. There's going to be crises. I hate to say this. We can't all live this la la land. All is wonderful and life's great all the time. There's going to be issues with our lives. We're going to be hurt. We're going to, you know, face losses. Getting fired, people hurting us, leaving us, cheating on us. We're going to face all those things. But if you're strong within yourself and honest, and you build your own resiliency individually, you can roll through the stuff together. You can bond better in the face of adversity. So when stuff happens, you know, and we're in a partnership or in a marriage or whatever, a lot of times we break up. We can't deal with it. We can't deal with it. But we have to roll through adversity sometimes together. So this is really important. Know how to roll through the bad times and don't blame each other. Try to own your part in it. And if it has nothing to do with you, it's just stuff happens because of bad luck. I don't know. Whatever it is, you've got to roll through it and support each other. And we each have our own expression of dealing with it. Sometimes we shut down.
Guys.
Sometimes we can't stop crying. Women. Sometimes we have to talk about it a lot and just keep rolling it over. Women. But my point is, here's a story. I want to share this with you. I had a couple years and years ago. Years and years ago. All right. I loved this couple because they went through hell in their lives. They were married for 4 years. They tried to have children. They couldn't. They finally had a son. And he was the apple of their eye. Yeah, you know what I'm going to say, don't you? Their son started kindergarten. And they used to walk him to the bus every day. And the boy basically was hit and killed by a driver because he ran the wrong way on the other side of the bus. He was all enthusiastic and excited, and he didn't stay in the line with his schoolmates. So this couple lost their boy. And they hung through it, and they went through therapy, and they went through grief, and they really did pretty well, but they ended up divorcing. They just couldn't hang after a year. They couldn't do it. It was so horrific for both of them to cope with this. They couldn't come together as partners because they were blaming themselves. And, well, maybe I shouldn't have taken him, so maybe we should have taught him to be calmer. Maybe, shoulda, coulda, woulda, and all those grief things we go through. The DABDA. DABDA? You know what that is, right? The acronym? Yeah. Denial and anger and bargaining and depression and then final acceptance. So what happened with this couple, to make a long story short, is they divorced. A year later, they went to therapy and they worked on it individually. They got back together and they married again. Because they realized that they had to work on their own unresolved issues about grief and stuff. You know? So they embraced and confronted the crises in their life on their own and built their own strength within, which strengthened their relationship with each other, and they stopped blaming each other and they stopped the anger. They owned their part in it, which was nothing. It was one of those accidents in the world. So it was really, truly amazing to see that happen. And then they stayed together, and they still are together, as far as I understand. They moved out of state. But, man, I mean, what a trauma. That's like the worst thing that can happen. So what we have to do, my point to this, is you have to confront and you have to master those inevitable crises in our lives as a couple. But you have to get yourself together and get your coping skills up, because you can't blame the other person. You can't put your unresolved stuff and grief and all that. Yes, support each other, give and take. Okay. Also, one of the other psychological tasks that you have to learn how to do in your relationships is using humor and laughter to keep things in perspective. Lighten up, for God's sakes. Jeez, man, too many people. Ay, ay, ay. You're so darn serious. Lighten the frick up. Look at the things that happen as stuff happens. Lighten up. Lighten up. Life is meant to be enjoyed. Yes, I'm not saying deny the crises and conflicts I was just talking about, but we got to learn how to, when we come out of the fog, there are times in our lives we have to take care of ourselves and do stuff for us. That's what life's about, is, you know, not being narcissistic, but taking care of ourselves. And then we can appreciate. If we're good to ourselves, we like who we are, and then we can appreciate other people a little better, too. And I always say that at the end of my show. All right? So it's really important. Also, Dr. Wallerstein wants you to provide nurturance and comfort to each other. Nurturance and comfort. Give a little empathy. Listen. Shut your mouth. Satisfying each partner's need for, not codependency, but depending on each other and trusting to offer continuing encouragement and support. Try to keep your own stuff out of it while your partner's talking. Listen to them and just give them respect. And another really important thing, and I'm going to leave you with this because I want you to think about this, is keep alive, guys, the romantic, the idealized images. Remember, you used to have those images of falling in love, how you first met? I always say to couples, what did you feel like when you first fell in love? How are you feeling when those fireworks were going off? If it was about sex, great, rekindle that. Get that going. Now that you've been together a while, you get to know each other a little more, and then you get to practice all these really good things so you can, you know, work on the relationship. Okay? And no, don't live in, you know, falsehoods. Yeah, you've been through a lot together, whatever, and then stuff happens through life, but try to go back to where you were in that great relationship. Try to remember how good it was. What were some of the things that you really, really loved about each other? Rekindle those things. Go have fun. Lighten up. Get some respect for each other. Allow the other person to have their needs and truth. That's what it's all about, respecting the other person. Do not resent them. Do not blame them. Do not put your crap on them. Do not make them feel responsible for your feelings. You are responsible for your feelings. Just you and you alone. No one can make you feel this way. It's you allow them to make you feel bad. Just some things to think about. Thank you guys so much for emailing me today at straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. I appreciate all your comments and all your questions. And I hope I helped you out with some of your relationship issues. You know, when you can get yourself together, take good care of yourself, then you're great for others. That's what I always say. Thanks for listening, guys. Next week, we're talking to an author, speaking about which, being a slave to our own negative thoughts and fears, and some of the negative beliefs that we have, which mess up our relationships. All right, thanks for listening, guys. Show will be up in the archives, ready for replay, downloading, as soon as the show's off the air, if you missed a little bit of advice here. Take good care. Dr. Michelle Cohen saying bye-bye. Got you on my mind again tonight. Seeing flashing rays of colored light. Come back here so I can get your mind.